Okay, I'm all in.
This is the only poker show in St. Louis radio.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please.
With the only St. Louisan to make it to the final table of the World Series of Poker main event.
Shuffle up a deal.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
We are live in the Lumiere Place Poker Room in downtown St. Louis. I'm Paul Harris. Dennis Phillips is by my side. And running back and forth a lot between Las Vegas and other tournaments around the world. As a matter of fact, you are on your way tomorrow to Argentina for yet another LAPT event.
It'll be my third LAPT. I was down in Uruguay. I was down in Chile. Had a heck of a lot of fun down there.
That's the Latin American Poker Tour.
Latin American Poker Tour put on by Poker Stars. This is the main event, the final event, the climax of their season. So this should be actually an excellent field. There were several pros at each of the others. This is going to be a dynamite field.
I got to tell you a quick funny story, not related to the LAPT, but about our friend Jamie Gold, who we saw a couple of weeks ago out at Caesar's Palace when we were all there for the Dream Team Poker event, which Jamie and his girlfriend Ashley and their teammate won. They were the winning team at that event. I get a text message last night from my friend Andy, and he says, I just walked into Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, and I saw Jamie Gold on the way out. You guys should have him on the show since he's in town. I thought, well, gee, I talked to Jamie just a couple of weeks ago when we were out there, and he didn't say anything about coming to St. Louis, but what the heck, I'll give him a call. And so I called Jamie. He answers the phone as if I've awakened him, even though it's the afternoon or afternoon.
That's very possible. Remember, poker players.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. Evening our time, afternoon West Coast time. But if he's in town, you know, why is he asleep?
Well, that's true.
Like 9 o'clock at night. But who knows? I say, hi, I hear you're in St. Louis. He says, no. I said, you're not in St. Louis? He says, I haven't been in St. Louis in years. I said, oh, because a friend of mine just saw you walking out of Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. He says, wasn't me. I'm in Ireland. He's over playing in some Irish tournament or something like that. Huge mix-up. I called my friend Andy back and say that wasn't him. He says, boy, this guy looked just like him. He had a baseball cap and he looked just like Jamie. So I called Jamie back and he says, please do me a favor, find out. Is there somebody going around saying that he's Jamie Gold?
Yeah.
Because I don't need that. I said, I'll check on it and make sure. Anyway, long story short, Jamie will be back from Ireland and won't be here in St. Louis in person, but is going to join us on the phone next week from Las Vegas. And at that point, I think both of you will probably be out there because it's leading up to the WPT Championship, and you will have played a few more days there after your trip to Argentina.
Yep.
So
Anyway, it'll be fun out there with Jamie and that, doing some talking. And, everybody knows that he's going to be on the show. Maybe we can get a few emails, a few questions from the listeners.
Absolutely.
Anything that you guys want to ask Jamie, he's been very open and very honest about it. He'll answer the questions.
Yep. I've played cash games against him. We both have played tournaments against him.
Yep.
DennisPhillipsPoker@gmail.com is the address. We're happy to get your questions for Jamie or for Dennis. Or for any of the guests that you hear on this show. Speaking of guests, we'll be joined later on this hour by Kathy Raymond, who's the director of poker room operations for the Venetian in Las Vegas, which has really come on strong in the last few years as a great place to play poker. The Bellagio had replaced the Mirage as the poker room in town. Now I think the Bellagio is getting a run for its money from the Venetian. Not so much in the high-stakes games, which Bellagio still owns, but in some of the 1-3, 2-5, 5-10 players. They're over there, particularly in the Deep Stack event. We talked on last week's show about how you had just won one of the Deep Stack events at the Venetian, and those are going on all through this month. And also in June, when you're out there for the entire month.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. Last year, they really had populated their entire room almost out there. Anybody that wasn't playing the WSOP was running over to the Venetian. They had like 70, 75 tables available.
Yep.
They're bumping it up. This year, they're going to have 90 tables available for these tournaments. It's going to be, you know, well, give them a close run for their money on a lot of these events, I'll bet you.
I agree. So Kathy will join us in a little while. Before we do anything else tonight, we didn't have time for this last week, and I do want to get to it this week. It's a little piece of audio of Scotty Wynn, who you know because you played with him in some tournaments, and a lot of poker players know Scotty. baby from watching him on TV, particularly in a rather obnoxious performance he gave at the $50,000 horse championship during the World Series last year, where he was drinking and he was abusive to the players at the table. In fact, I thought he was so way over the top, I was surprised that the tournament director didn't give him a penalty or worse after the way he acted there. Anyway, here's audio of Scotty being interviewed by a guy from PokerListings.com, in which he makes a rather unusual guarantee about this year's World Series of Poker. Here is Scotty Wynn. Roll it.
You know, baby, the World Series of Poker 2009, if I made less than $4 million, I would have quit my job. I would never play poker again. Take that, baby. Put that. That's right, baby. Put that. Mark it down. All right, baby? If I made less than $4 million, you would never see me play 2010.
All right, so that you can take it down. So there's Scotty, and what he's essentially saying is, if in this year's World Series of Poker he makes less than $4 million, he will not play the World Series of Poker next year. Am I getting that right?
You're getting exactly right.
And he's going to quit his job. Now, Dennis, how many people made $4 million in last year's World Series of Poker?
Three.
And you're one of them.
That's true.
You and Yvonne and Peter,
yep,
the guys who finished
now,
first and
now
second.
Now, this year, actually, the stakes are up a little bit. They've got the 40K in that they didn't have last year. They've got the first event where the 1,000 buy-in where they're trying to get a massive amount of people. There's going to be some larger stakes out there on mm-hmm. those lines. They're saying possibly 300 people in that 40K. That's a $12 million pot.
Mm-hmm.
So first prize there is going to be huge. They're talking trying to get 5,000 people in that $1,000 buy-in game.
Mm-hmm.
Again, whether they get it or not, I don't know. But there's another $5 million pot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some monster pots out there going on this year. Will
still
be going on.
Still,
$4 million is...
The odds are against anyone winning a major event. The odds are against anyone getting more than one bracelet. The odds of getting $4 million in cash, and I wonder, by the way, if that's minus his entry fees. Because he's going to play the $10,000 main event. He's going to play the $40,000 event. He's going to play the $50,000 event. That's $100,000 right
there.
That's
true.
So now he's got to make at least $4.1 million.
Well, remember when we had Greg on here? He said that he typically would go 150 to 170,000 in entries out there during
mm-hmm.
the year, during the course of that, and that was without the 40K.
So does that count when Scotty's talking about making $4 million? I don't know.
Yeah.
In that interview, which is on PokerListings.com, he actually says to the cameraman, "I'll give you 10-1. You put up $100, I'll put up $1,000. And if I'm the cameraman." I insta-call that bet, don't you?
I got to admit, yeah, I would take that bet in a heartbeat. And nothing, not to take anything away from Scotty. I played with him at the Bellagio, played a 3K out there. He ended up coming in second on it.
Mm-hmm.
He's an extremely good player. In fact, he took a chunk of my chips on it with pocket fives, called
mm-hmm.
me off on
mm-hmm.
it. Very good player.
Yes, he is.
So he is one, if you had to pick a handful of people, you would definitely put him on your short list. But I don't care. In fact, I'll even go a step further. You could pick any three players in the world, and I would bet against any of them making $4 million.
Any of the top pros in the world?
Name three. And I would bet against any of them making,
mm-hmm.
not, you know, one of them is all they'd have to do it. I would take that bet.
I think that's probably a pretty good bet, considering, look at who's won the main event the last few years. Has it been a top-name pro?
No.
No, hasn't been a top-name pro, I think, since 10 years ago with Chris mm-hmm. Jesus Ferguson.
Yeah. Do it this way. Put it in other relations. Major League Baseball, if I would give you one American League team and one National League team, and I'll take the rest of the field, and I'll give you great odds that neither one of them would make it to the World Series.
How about win the World Series?
Oh, either one of them to win it. Yeah, there you go.
Because when you're talking about making over $4 million, you're talking about having a win.
This is
at
true.
At least one
this
of these
true.
Major events
yeah.
along the way. Bodog, the online website, is giving 25-1 odds. If you want to take Scotty, they will lay $2,500 to your $100 if you want to put the money on Scotty. I'm not
betting on Scotty on that even. I'm sorry. As much as I respect his game, as good a quality player he is, I'm just not giving it.
How would you love to be following him along and find out that some guy hit a two-outer suck-out on him and you lose that bet and he doesn't make his $4 million?
You don't have to follow it. If that happens, it'll be out there in broad letters all over the pages.
Absolutely. Anyway, I just love the audio of Scotty who I'm guessing may have consumed a couple of Michelobes before that camera was turned on that day. I don't know. We talk about the fact that we're here at the Lumiere Place Poker Room. We forgot to mention also last week, as we got so carried away with so many other things, the bad beat was hit here for over $310,000. The backup bad beat went into effect. It's now over $250,000. That may explain why the room is so full and why the poker tables are humming behind us here in the Lumiere Place Poker Room. If you're in downtown St. Louis, this is the place you want to play poker. Lumiere Place Poker Room, with tournaments 7 days a week.
And I think you need to explain the bad beat, exactly how that's distributed and everything, too,
okay,
for our listeners on that.
Quads, beat by quads, or better.
Right. And the way they distribute it, if I'm not mistaken on this, is that whoever gets the bad beat gets...
Let's say I make quad eights and you make quad jacks.
Okay.
As the person with
can I trade you?
As the person with quad eights, I would get 50% of that bad beat jackpot.
Correct.
You would get 25% of the bad beat jackpot. And everybody else at the table who was sitting there when the hand started and got cards,
right,
would share the other 25%.
Simple mathematics. You have $300,000 in the pot. The quad eights will get
$150,000.
The quad jacks will get $75,000. The other people at the table, say there were five of them, all they get is $15,000.
$15,000, because they would split the $75,000 that's the rest of that pot.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I have heard bad beat stories of a guy who went to the bathroom.
Oh, man.
And the bad beat hit.
Yeah.
Most people are nice enough to pay him off and say, you know, we're sorry you weren't there. You're not getting a full table share,
right,
but they get paid off a little bit anyway.
I actually know a guy that happened to. He was moved to the table, sat down at it, and set out one hand. The guy asked him, hey, just, you know, set out a hand. Bad beat was hit.
Yeah.
Now, it would not have been hit had he played the hand, obviously.
Right, because that would completely change the way the cards were
done. Everybody at the table turned around and gave him something out of their pot.
Very nice.
Which is the way it should be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. Anyway, if you come downtown St. Louis, you've got to play in the Lumiere Place Poker Room. Whatever level of poker you want to play, they've got it for you here. And we'll be back live with the Lumiere Place Final Table in just a moment with the poker coach, Joe McGowan, here on 590 of the Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com.
Closet cleaning is a worthwhile venture, clearing up usable space and resulting in items for charitable donation, like that keyboard tie. It's a win-win, but it takes a lot of energy. You should clean your closet next week and fuel up this week. For instance, carb up on the delicious pasta dishes at the House of Savoy, or meet your daily recommended dose of random cravings at the Kitchen Buffet and Bistro. To recap, eat now, clean your closet later. Now is the time for whatever turns you on at Lumiere Place. Visit LumierePlace.com for more info. Must be 21 to enter casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Now, back to the Lumiere Place Final Table, where Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris are talking poker on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
As you can tell from the chip noises in the background, that's not a special sound effects. That's actually live action here in the Lumiere Place Poker Room in downtown St. Louis, the home of the Lumiere Place Final Table. We're here Tuesday nights from 7 to 8 here on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. And remember, if you've got something you want to ask us, the email address is dennisphillipspoker@gmail.com, or go to Dennis's website, thechipleader.com. Not only will you find podcasts of this show, but also some of his tournament exploits from around the world. He's about to leave for Argentina for another Latin American poker tour event, and then back to Las Vegas, where he's playing in more of the deep stack events and the Bellagio events that are leading up to the WPT Championship there. And while he's there, I'm sure he'll be joined by the poker coach, Joe McGowan, who'll also be playing in some of those events and joins us live on the phone now. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Good. Welcome back to the show. All right. Now, last week when we were on the show, we had an emailer with some questions about the difference between cash and tournament play. And because we were running out of time, I said, you know what, let's hold on to that and we'll do it on the next show. So let's have, if you would, a little poker coach seminar here on the air about the difference between playing in cash games and playing in tournament games, because the strategies can be very different, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, I definitely have a place to begin, but it might even be overwhelming. I'm sure, you know, I could come up with 100 things if we wanted to. The differences, there's extreme differences from cash games to tournaments, and I know you've said it's one of the most popular questions. It's a great question, but I would say, first off, the starting stack. Everybody starts out the same. You can go to the win. You hear the stories, players playing 1-3 and 2-5 and 5-10 with $140,000 in front of them, and another guy has, you know, 700.
Or even if you come here to Lumiere Place and play in the 5-10 game that goes on Tuesday nights while we're doing the show, in which Dennis and I play in, there's a minimum buy-in of 1,000, but there's no maximum buy-in. And while some people might be buying in for 1,000 or 1,500, there might be other people who are buying in for $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000.
Absolutely. I've seen
hold
that.
On. Joe, are you still there? All right. Get him back, and we'll pick it up there. One of the nice things about taping. Are you locking him in on the Telos?
We had problems with him being lost the last time he was on, too, a couple times.
Which doesn't make sense.
Especially last time we recorded. Joe?
Yeah.
Joe?
I'm here.
Okay. All right,
we'll
so just pick it up as if I had just said there are people who are buying in here for $10,000. And that makes a difference, doesn't it?
Absolutely makes a difference, Paul. Without a doubt. I mean, that's one of the key things with the tournaments. Everybody starts with the same stack, which is pretty obvious of a difference. I think one of the other key differences, and we'll get to some of the more subtle differences as we go, blinds and antes. If you're playing a 5-10 game there at Lumiere, it's going to be 5-10 all night. You know, occasionally someone puts a straddle on it, something like that. But for the most part, I mean, that 5-10 game will be there all year. And it will be the same. And tournaments, you know, it might start out 25-50 and then go 50-100 and so forth and so on up to huge blinds. You can't just sit there and play tight and play like a nit and wait for big hands. In tournaments, sometimes you have to gamble a little bit, which could go even a little further. And in a tournament, I may be thrilled to look down at pocket fours and can't wait to get my money all in. If I'm short stacked and hurting for chips and really need to pick up a hand, I might love pocket fours. As opposed to a cash game, I might look down at pocket kings and have to make a horrible, you know, tough decision to throw it away pre-flop because I'm pretty convinced a very, very tight player in front of me has already, you know, went all in on top of another race. So it's another big, big, big difference. You know, in a cash game, you don't have much money involved. You can throw away a lot of premium hands and wait for better spots.
You know, one of the points that you made there, and Dennis and I have talked about this at length, is sure. The difference, particularly at the beginning, of a person who plays cash and is a patient player. And again, when the blinds are staying level in a regular cash game, you can be patient for an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours, just picking and choosing where you're going to play. But when those blinds are going up, and in some smaller tournaments, the blinds could be going up every 20 or 30 minutes as opposed to in the World Series of Poker main event where it's a two-hour round. If the blinds are going up every 20 or 30 minutes, you can't wait around for an hour and a half just playing two or three hands because those blinds are going to start eating you alive, right?
Oh, absolutely right. They can. There's a huge difference there on it. Between the levels and everything. Joe's making a very valid point, but there's about four or five other ones, too. Go ahead and touch on those, Joe, and then let's go back and kind of wrap them together. I think that's the best way to do it.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I mean, I have a bunch more. I mean, I think as far as a tournament goes, there might even be what I would call like a pre-tournament battle. You know, getting enough sleep, bringing some Advils in your pocket, bringing an energy bar or something, really, because you know, doing that, if I don't get enough sleep, say it's the World Series coming up this year. If I get 5 hours of sleep, you know, that might be a lot of sleep for maybe Dennis. You know, he can do that and play great. If I get 5 hours of sleep, I'm throwing my money out the window. I'm certainly not going to play a cash game or a tournament. But if I have a tournament the next day, I want to make sure I get plenty of sleep because there's a start time. Tournament usually starts at 12 o'clock.
Now I understand. Joe, you're in training. That's why you have the child there. You're in training for the World Series. Okay, we've got it figured out.
Okay. You know, with the start times of a cash game, you know, so I didn't get a good night's sleep, so I sleep in and then I play at 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock and whenever I get there because the game's pretty much going to be there. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
And the point that you brought about making sure you've got an energy bar or sometimes just an apple or you know, a bag of M&Ms or something, I have found from playing in small tournaments and big tournaments, you play a few rounds and now you're going to take a break, and it's a 10-minute break. They announce 10 minutes before we start up again, and the clock starts counting down from 10 minutes. That's when your wife calls. And you really have to go to the bathroom, and you also have to get something to eat, and you have to get out of the room and back into the room and start again when that clock starts up in 10 minutes. there are sometimes where that is just going to be physically impossible to do. And Dennis was explaining to me last year in the main event how difficult it was to get out of the Amazon room at the Rio with 3,000 people all going to the men's room at the same time, although Lisa Parsons said, ladies' room, not much of a problem. But even so, to have to make that walk and get there and get back and still find something to eat in that time can be crushing.
And the thing, and nothing wrong with this, but they ran that a strict timeline. When the break was up, the break was up, and they started dealing cards. And you would have half the people sitting down and the other ones trying to rush to their seats because they just literally did not have the time to make it to the restroom, to make it to get a glass of water, whatever the devil they were going to do.
Slice of pizza, whatever
anything.
It was.
Anything. Didn't make any difference. You just couldn't make. And there were people missing hand over hand after hand.
Whereas in a cash game,
yeah,
Joe,
cares?
If you miss a few hands, doesn't matter, right?
Right, exactly. And the deeper you go, the more important that is, obviously. You know, if you're at the table and you don't win that pre-tournament battle, and you get there late or you get stuck in traffic, you're getting blinded off. The blinds are huge. You can't afford to take that risk. I mean, you really need to be prepared for stuff like that.
Good.
I think another big thing, guys, would be cash game. A lot of times, some of the guys over the years have asked me why I seem to be one of the lucky ones get involved with a couple of the weaker players in our regular game, and I seem to be one of the ones that always get their chips. Well, honestly, there's a big reason for that. The game usually starts for us around 2 o'clock. So I'll get there maybe 1 o'clock because I know where these guys like to sit. One of them likes to sit in seat 5, so I'm going to make sure I get 7 or 8. That's why I have a position on them. Also, then, I can isolate. I can raise them with any two cards, so I'm playing heads up on people that I have great reads on. And I can, quite frankly, outplay them. In a tournament, you can't go to the tournament and ask for the seat change button or move to a different table because you don't like your table, right? I mean, these are big, big, big differences.
Yep.
If you're running bad or you're tired or you're tilty, you can't just say, I'm going to quit. I'm not in a good mood or I just got a bad phone call or something. You got to stay and grind it out. You got to make it work when you're in the tournament. Those are some more differences that I would see in the cash game.
And that's a big one, too, the whole notion of position. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down in a tournament and there is a Dennis Phillips-level player directly to my left. And as we go along, people will bust out of the tournament and maybe it'll be the person to Dennis's left who's busted out. And in a cash game, I would instantly try to move to that seat. But, of course, in a tournament, they're not going to let me do that. That's why I'm hoping for changing tables, which is another factor that is different between cash games and tournaments. Tournaments, as the tournament goes along and you go deeper and deeper and tables get consolidated, you're probably not going to be playing against the same people all day or all night long. Whereas in a cash game, it's very likely that you'll have at least half of that table remaining the same players for a long time, right?
Absolutely. There's no way we're going to get to go over them all. There's so many, and there's so many more that I'm sure I haven't thought of that all three of us could work on for some time and come up with. But a popular term in tournament play is shove stacks. You really don't have that as much in a cash game. If I go to sit down in a cash game, let's say I'm going to go play, there's a game out here that I play, it's 5, 10, 20. It's a three-blind game. It's not a straddle. If you want a straddle, it would be 5, 10, 40. A no-limit game, and typically, let's just say, for instance, I sit down with 5,000. I'm going to have another 10,000 in my pocket in case the wheels fall off and I run horrible or whatever happens, so I can rebuy in. In a tournament, of course, you can't rebuy in, but there becomes a time in tournaments where you might look down an ace-10, which in a tournament's a pretty good hand, but you might not do your standard raise because there's two or three stacks to your left that are looking for the pocket fours or anything to push all in with. Those are those shove stacks, where the chips are very different than cash game chips. It might be $600,000 in tournament chips as opposed to $5,000 or whatever size game you're playing in. It could even be $60 in a cash game if you're playing like a 1-3 game that are very valuable to that person that they would just never shove all in almost with any two cards because they felt committed that the blinds and antes are going up in minutes. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it's a huge thing there. You need to be aware of chip stacks, both in a cash game and in a tournament one, but they can mean so much different. Joe brings a huge point here. You got less than 10 big blinds. You're looking for some hand, two double up. You've got to find it. You find the fours, you're going to be shoving. You don't want to be in the hand with the ace 10 unless you have to be against that guy. You know, well, depending on your chip stack, there's a lot more to it. But Joe brings a huge point there on it versus a cash game where a guy maybe started out with 1,000, he's down to 400. You know, he's still going to value that 400. Mm-hmm. He's just not looking for a place to throw 400 into the pot.
Right.
There's a huge, huge difference here, and Joe makes a valid point.
Here would be another one. The mix of players in a tournament. If you go out to the World Series and you're one of these people, you know, they're trying to do that 5,000 player entry this year, the $1,000 event.
Yep.
So you can have all different types of skill leveling. You might have Barry Greenstein to your left, and then you got the guy that plays 1-2, you know, wherever. And then the next guy next to him plays 20-40 at Commerce. Next guy next to him, plays whatever. You get all these incredible different levels. So people play 4,000, 8,000, no limit, with a dead 10,000 on the button in a crazy game in Commerce.
Wow.
The guy who's almost a beginner that wants to just take a shot and have fun with playing
yep.
in this event.
So people who have won satellites to get in it, people who are playing yep. in their first live tournament because they only play online. You're right. It's a huge mix of players.
Huge mix, which you need to try to figure out when you're playing
instantly.
That tournament. Who's who? I mean, it's obvious if it's Phil Ivey and Barry Greenstein and Dennis Phillips. That's obvious. But there's the second-tier player, maybe like myself, that you don't know if I'm a 1-2 player. Or if I've been playing poker for a living for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try to figure out who's who. As far as a cash game, if you go to the Commerce and you want to go play 20-40, there's going to be some better players and some poorer players, but they're all pretty much going to be 20-40 regular players, and they're going to be used to that. They're going to be in their comfort zone. In the tournament, there might be a guy that's just squirming in his seat and almost can't wait for it to get over because he's so uncomfortable. That's his first tournament ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, believe it or not, I can't wait to get out of the seat. And you have other
nope.
players, of course, the Barry Greensteins and all, and
yep.
super experienced, not going to make a lot of mistakes. And you have to kind of navigate and feel your way through, which is a huge difference from cash games.
Oh, absolutely. You go to a casino, the guy at the 1-3 table is not going to suddenly jump up to the 25-50 table. You know, well, you hope
right.
he does, but he doesn't. On it in the tournament, you're absolutely right. There's a story about a guy that had to go to that wanted to play the World Series of Poker, wanted to do it. His wife says, "Fine and dandy, as long as you buy me in too." She didn't even know how to play.
Mm.
Now then, there you go. You get all sorts of levels.
How was the return on their $20,000 investment?
Yeah, we probably don't want to go there. You know, it depends on what the divorce attorney costs.
Now I've got a question for you because I am 95% cash player, 5% tournament player. I don't play nearly as many tournaments as you guys do, either online or in live tournaments. So I've got a question about patience. When you sit down at a cash game, you have the time to be patient, especially in the first hour, to really size up who your opponents are and to figure out who is that wild guy, who is that tight guy, who is the guy who always raises on the button in a limp pot. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can pick up tells. You can sit there and be much more patient at a cash game than I find I can ever be in a tournament game, particularly if it's a tournament with only 20 or 30-minute levels, as many local tournaments tend to be. How do you make that adjustment, and how do you be patient and yet play more hands at the same time in a tournament, or should you take it the same way, Joe?
Well, Dennis, why don't I let you try to take that one?
I'll take a couple of things okay. I'll mention to it real quick. First of all, in a tournament, like when we talked at the Venetian, where they have the deep stack, where they have a decent period of time, you can do that. You can play patience. You can analyze the table, and that's exactly what you should be doing. In that case, it is somewhat similar to a cash game.
Because the rounds are going to be 40 minutes or an hour or whatever.
You have the time to do it. Now, obviously, when it starts building up, then you're going to part of that luxury is going to be taken away, especially if you get hit a couple of times, take some bad beats, the whole bit like that on it. And then when you get moved to a new table and a bus and you're late in the tournament and you've got to analyze, you've got to play these people. Yeah. In my opinion, then that's where you being able to do the tells and the reads come into play, and also your position. Position in a tournament, so many people don't play their position correctly. the same hand in early and in middle and late position can play three totally different ways onto it. Being playing late, being able to react instead of having to act, I mean, there's a huge difference. Later in the tournament, know your position and know your chip stacks. That's where you bring in things like Joe had mentioned earlier about the shove, all the rest of the aspects to it. You've got to be aware of those. Position late in a tournament is huge. Chips count late in a tournament is huge. How's that, Joe?
I think it's great. I think another thing close to that might be playing a cash game. A guy might have $2,500 in front of him, and most guys say they're in the game, they have $6,000. That's the average chip stack in a cash game. One guy with $2,500, he's an extremely successful businessman, and he's a multi-millionaire.
Yep.
So he's kind of short at the table, but the $2,500, you know, likely if he's successful like that, he's probably not, you know, one of these donkeys. He's probably, you know, going to fend for that money and not just there to give it away. He's probably a pretty smart guy. I mean, you're not going to push him around. He's going to value those chips. As opposed to a tournament, you might pick on him if he's mid-stacked or short-stacked. You might get him to lay down hands. It's a big, big difference, tournament to cash game.
Yeah, so if you sit down at a table with Guy La Liberté, who we've seen so often on high-stakes poker, the money means different things to him than it does to you. But he's a successful businessman, and it's not like he's just going to donk it off to everybody.
And the tournament chips, though, that's all you have. You know, so Guy's going to value those tournament chips. If he's in a tournament and he has 10,000 starting chips, he can't dig into his deep pockets and put more on the table. So that's the other twist with it going the other way.
Very good point. The one other thing that I like to point out for a difference between, and I don't mean to step on Joe, but I wanted to bring up here before we run out of time, between cash and a tournament is the tilt factor. When I'm in a cash game and I run into a bad hand or something like that, I get up, I go get a drink of water, I walk around the casino for a minute, take a deep breath, come back, sit down when I've got myself calm, cool, and collect. You can't do that in a tournament, especially deep in one. You take a bad hit, you're going to get two cards dealt to you immediately, and you got to play them. You've got to stay on focus, as they say, on that.
So what do you do then when you do take that bad hit and you feel yourself on tilt a little bit, but you can't take that walk?
You hope for deuce seven.
You hope for a round of no decent cards?
Well, you hope for a round of easily played cards.
Right.
That's not when you want the pocket jacks with a raise and a re-raise ahead of you. That's not when you want everybody to limp to you and you look down to a jack nine of hearts going, do I or don't I try to make a move with this? You'd rather have the pocket aces or the 2-7 or, you know, something that's fairly easy to play, or at least you can play standard, shall we say.
Yeah, if you think you're getting a little tilty, the marginal hands, I would tell our listeners towards folding.
I agree.
Try to take a little mental break right at the table, you know, rub your temples, relax, close your eyes for 3 minutes while you're out of a hand, and regroup. But you do have to stay there, and you do have to keep playing.
All right, great tips on the difference between playing cash games and tournaments from the poker coach, Joe McGowan, who we will talk to again next week. Thanks for your time, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Dennis.
Absolutely, Joe. Till next time.
This is the Lumiere Place Final Table, live from Lumiere Place Casino and Hotel in downtown St. Louis, where they've got tournaments going on 7 days a week at noon and Sunday through Thursdays at 6 p.m. You can sign up starting on the morning of the tournament and come in and play. While you're here, don't forget about all the table games, from craps to roulette to blackjack, the slot machines, the hotels, the restaurants, and so much more. It's the destination for poker players and gamblers in downtown St. Louis. It's Lumiere Place Casino and Hotels. If you'd like to book a room here, go to thechipleader.com, that's Dennis's website, and click on the Lumiere Place ad to get yourself a room booked right in downtown St. Louis for $109 per night. That's a deal we've worked out for you, for the website and for listeners of this show. Find it at thechipleader.com. We're back with more after this on Five Night of the Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
In just 2 short years, World Series of Poker champ Dennis Phillips has earned over $4.5 million because Dennis knows when to hold a great deal. That's why Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room is his game room superstore. Hurry to Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room now for factory closeout deals on poker tables, craps tables, blackjack tables, 3-in-1 casino tables, and accessories. Plus, get Amini's closeout deals on complete game room packages, sale priced from just $1,995. right now. Brunswick Billiard Game Room Suites are thousands off, and American-made pool tables are just $995. Hurry to Amini's now for blowout deals on leather sectionals, area rugs, bars, bar stools, video arcade games, and home theater seating. Hold your deal interest-free with two-year layaway. So take a tip from Dennis. Get your great deal today at Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room, Highway 40 and Boone's Crossing in Chesterfield Valley, the home of the Copper Dome Amini's.
Whether you play poker in a home game, a cash game in a casino, or online, this is the show for you. It's the Lumiere Place Final Table with Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris on 590 The Fan, KFNS.
We are in downtown St. Louis in the Lumiere Place Poker Room. Paul Harris along with Dennis Phillips. Happy to have you along. Remember, if you miss any of our shows or you've missed any of our previous shows, you can always go to Dennis's website, thechipleader.com, and catch up with the podcast, which you can also subscribe to via iTunes and have downloaded automatically. We put them up the day after the show airs. You can get those podcasts from thechipleader.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by PokerStars. Dennis Phillips, a proud member of Team PokerStars Pro.
Team PokerStars Pro, now with the top four finishers in the 2008 WSOP. Peter, Ivan, myself, and Elon, all there at the same site. So if you want to play any of us, log on to PokerStars.net. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the industry's premier software. Come on there, have some fun, play against us, and learn. I'll tell you what, if you want to learn an Omaha, you want to learn the pot limit, you want to learn the limit, no better place to do it than PokerStars.net.
People have been hearing a lot about the game of horse. Maybe they don't know what all the games are in horse. Do you want to play just horse with everybody? You can. Do you want to learn about Omaha or Raz or Stud 8 or better? Those are all right there on PokerStars.
And then
too.
As soon as you get comfortable with that, what you need to do is go out to Vegas to the Venetian, where some friends of mine are at, and play there, because they've got a great room. This place is unbelievable out there.
Yeah, it is a beautiful room. I love playing there, too. Yes. Let's introduce our guest who happens to run that room.
Kathy, are you on there?
I sure am. How are you?
Just great. This is Kathy Raymond. I believe she used to be at Foxwood. Is that correct?
That
She's out there
correct.
Now.
Many years.
Taking. Oh, not many years now. Let's not date ourselves. All right.
I'm going to show my age. All right.
All right. But she is the director of the poker room operations out there, and she has reason to be proud of what's gone on there in the last year or two, the way they built up that room, the promotions they're getting, the attraction of the players they're getting. When I won out there a couple of weeks back.
About a week and a half ago in the Deep Stack event.
Anyhow, the very next day, Doug Lee won it, which is another pro out there, a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. So it's back-to-back pros winning on it, and it's a tough thing. Lisa played in those tournaments. She ended up fourth in one of them.
Lisa Parsons.
Lisa Parsons, who's another one, finished 76th, I think it was, in the World Series last year. They're attracting the right crowd. They're attracting good players. They're getting good-sized ones, and they're keeping it economical for everyone. So anyhow, absolutely. I didn't mean to take your thunder away there, Kathy. I'll let you talk
no,
now.
No, that's
but
quite right.
I'm bragging about you guys. You're doing a great job out there. So,
well, anyhow. You know, it's all about what the players were asking for, right along with the Deep Stack event. I was hearing players, back from really 2003, 2004 on up, and they're talking about the enhanced skill level that they now have, which was something new. You know, I mean, players were playing tournaments, and I don't want to say that they didn't know what they were doing, but they weren't really educated to the degree in poker that they are now. And with that in mind, the crapshoot kind of poker tournament just really wasn't fulfilling their needs. They wanted to be able to exercise their skill. And in order to do that, you have to have a significant starting stack of chips, and you have to have levels that are going to give you the opportunity to show off those skills. So that's what it was all about. We actually started the first Deep Stack event back in February of 2007. And I'm really, proud to say that I think that we were almost the originators of the concept, and it's taken off very quickly. And now Deep Stack events are being held across the country, across the world. And I think it's a great thing that casinos and card rooms are recognizing this, and it's doing the industry a world of good.
And now you're doing them more than once a year.
We do Deep Stack four times a year now. Our first Deep Stack Extravaganza 1 is held in February. We are right now in the middle of our Deep Stack Extravaganza 2, which is the 1st of April through the 25th. We have our big event coming up during the World Series time, which is May 28th through July 16th. That is going to be our premier event, our mega event. And then we have another event that follows up in November. So four times a year, players really have the opportunity to, play with Deep Stack, play against people who are, pros and novices alike in these events. Large fields, great overlays, and we're really looking forward to keeping them going. As I say, the June one is going to be very, very exciting.
Let me tell you, I couldn't agree with you more. When you get the Deep Stacks, you guys, copying is the best form of flattery you can get, and everybody in the world seems to be copying what you guys are doing with those Deep Stacks. So you ought to pat yourself on the back there. But the people that really love this game and love the skill and love to get it into deep and really play poker, not just a shove fest or something, love these kind of tournaments.
Although I do have a complaint, Kathy. I got to be honest with you.
Let's hear it. That's what I want to hear.
I think you need to put in a new rule. Maybe you can't do it this month, but maybe by the time I get back out there in June, you should have a rule that nobody can hit their two-out or suck-out on the river to knock me out of the tournament.
I will try and make that effective before you come back out to play.
Yeah, there you go.
Believe me, I could bring that in handy for myself as well once in a while. Again, with the deep stacks, though, you can almost survive that kind of a hit and keep on playing. In a short stack event, you're usually going to be out. So that's what this is all about as well. We still start with the blind levels. Relatively small. The 2550 is the starting blind level at the present time. And it gives you a chance really to hedge your bets when it comes against, taking a bad beat. You can take one and still come out to win the event.
Let me ask you a quick casino economics question, because I'm curious about this, because one of the things I love about the deep stack events you do is that they actually take out the slot machines outside the poker room. A lot of them go away so that you can put out more poker tables. How do you convince management to take slot machines out?
Well, I think that it takes a very keen a management team such as we have here at the Venetian to recognize that it's a revenue, yes, but it's also about marketing. It's also about the players, the number of players that are pulled into the casino through the portal of poker. And I think that that's realized, it's recognized. It's more than, just a card game. It's a sport for people, and people will come and stay for weeks at a time. So it's not always about the bottom line dollar, although that does pretty well in itself. Our management team really recognizes now the value of poker, just as an amenity, but as a strong draw to players who have never visited our facility at all before.
Well, before, and I do want to mention about your facilities there in a minute, but the one thing that maybe nobody realizes is just how large this is. If my numbers are right, last year you expanded out to 75 tables there during the WSOP, and this year you're going to 90 tables?
That's correct.
Out there?
Actually, 89, but if I can squeeze that 90th table in, I'm going to try.
And you may need it.
We want to be able to have the capacity with alternates to be able to accommodate 1,000 players or more in any particular event.
That's unbelievable.
It's all about the overlay, as you know. If you're going to, put in $300, $500, $1,000, it's all about the overlay and the return on your money. So the more players that you have, obviously, the bigger the payday is going to be. And with the Deep Stack event, combining the skill and the overlay, it's almost a win-win situation for a good player.
I'm talking with Kathy Raymond, Director of Poker Room Operations at the Venetian out in Las Vegas here at the Lumiere Place Final Table. Kathy, we talked about how you used to be at Foxwoods and then you moved to the Venetian in one of the most competitive poker cities in the world. When you were at Foxwoods, you didn't have much competition, although Mohegan Sun had a table and a half there for a while that
right.
you had to compete with. But in Las Vegas, you're competing against the Bellagio, which has the reputation as the poker venue, particularly for higher stakes, plus every other casino in that town, from the Mirage to the MGM to Bally's to mm-hmm. everywhere else. They've all got poker rooms as well. So in addition to the Deep Stack event, how do you compete in a competitive poker environment like that?
Well, I think it's, the game of poker is the same as far as cash games go. Poker is the same no matter what card room or casino you're going to visit. No limit hold'em is no limit hold'em, stud is stud. You know, Omaha is Omaha. What makes the difference is the environment that you're coming into. And we try and provide an extremely friendly, knowledgeable, almost a family type of environment in a very luxurious atmosphere. And we have found that, you know, that's what players are looking for. They want to be treated well. They want to, you know, it's almost like the Cheers concept, you know, where everybody knows your name. If we have regular local players, we treat them like family. And the tourist who just walks in the door for the first time, we want to treat them the same way. So it all came down to really the staff. I have a phenomenal staff of people working for me, from the dealers all the way up through my managers. Players will say, you know, I just can't believe I sit down at a table. Your dealers are smiling. They're happy. And it just kind of feeds on itself, because as the room gets more successful, the staff become happier in their jobs, and it just feeds back to the players who keep on coming in because the staff is a good staff. So,
well,
we in 3 short years, we've really come quite a ways. We were actually chosen by the Las Vegas Review-Journal staff as the top poker room in Las Vegas this year, the 2009 Best of Las Vegas. So we're very, very proud of that. Again, the fact that we've done it in 3 short years and coming onto the scene with, you know, a large room as we do have, 39 tables, and being the newest kid on the block, it was a difficult challenge, I will tell you, especially coming from Foxwoods, where there was no competition, essentially.
Yeah.
It was switching gears very quickly, but I think we're all very, very proud of what we've accomplished.
I met some
here
of the people out there, and you're right.
Trying,
Tim Mix
so,
out there, Anthony Chester, some of the other guys that are helping you. They run a very tight ship, but it's a very fair ship. And again, they keep it friendly.
And
you enjoy playing
that
in that room.
Yeah,
well, the other nice little thing you have out there is the entire complex you got. If you've never been to the Venetian, you guys got to go to the Venetian just
dump.
To watch. Yeah, get right. Just yeah, no problem. Yeah, looks like your side house, right, or something.
They have
like
the same art that I have. It's nothing special.
Yeah, right. No kidding. Yeah.
Painted ceilings and vaulted columns and
dogs playing poker for you, right? There you go. All right,
they don't have as much velvet.
Yeah.
I'll grant you that. You need more velvet on the walls.
Okay, just a quick thing, and I know you know this much better than me, but I believe you have 22 restaurants in that complex. Is that right?
Yes, we do. Yes,
unbelievable. I ate up at San Marco the other day, had a fabulous meal, and the guys took care of me up there just the way you do in the poker room. I went up there, and there were 7 of us, and we had never ordered before, and said, we're not really familiar with the menu. And he said, you want me to take care of it? I said, yeah. They brought out 3 or 4 appetizers. They brought 3 or 4 entrees. They took care of us the whole bit. It's fabulous meals. We didn't order a thing.
I'll tell you one other quick food thing, and I know this is an extended commercial
and
for you,
Kathy.
And
we do food very well if you've ever seen me.
Quite all right. Keep running going.
I ordered some food, and I was playing 5-10 in the Venetian just a couple of months ago, and I ordered I think it was a chicken Caesar wrap, and it comes with chips and a couple of other things and a little cup of jelly beans. It's the first time in my adult life I'd ever been served jelly beans. I thought it was hysterical.
It's luxury with a twist.
There you go.
So, Kathy, do you play?
I do. I've been playing the game since I've been about 8 years old.
And what do you play these days?
So that was, you know, about 10 years ago. And it's just, I absolutely am enthralled by it. And that's really the reason why I got into the industry. I was a CPA for many years, and kind of was getting bored, just thought, well, you know, want to make a change. There was this place that was opening way out in the woods somewhere called Foxwoods, and I thought, well, gee, I think I want to do something fun, and I want to become a poker dealer because I love the game of poker, and that's exactly what I did. I left the CPA firm. I became a poker dealer and was able to move up through the ranks of every position that there was in poker, and learned everything that there was to know. I was tournament director. I was, you know, shift man. I was everything you could possibly be.
But you still sit down and play every once in a while. And when you do, what do you play?
I do. I really in tournaments. I will always play no limit. I do love the no limit tournaments. In live cash game action, I am still a limit player from way back. I also love 7-card stud, which is unfortunately very difficult to find in this town. you know, in lieu of that, I love limit hold'em as well. So yeah. I'm kind of all around. I've developed a new passion now with horse, and have found that.
Do you really like Raz?
I'm sorry?
You really like Raz?
I do. And, you know, believe it or not,
okay.
I do well at Raz. I've actually gotten into a couple of.
Hey, I do real well at getting the worst hands, so you never know.
I'll tell you why she does well is because she was a stud player.
Actually, yes. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
It does make a difference, absolutely. You know, I go stud, you know, stud in reverse. But, yeah, I do love to play, and unfortunately I don't have much opportunity as I would like. But I just get, you know, I get thrilled just going out into my own room and watching, you know, a lot of my friends, and I say friends, my patrons, and they mm-hmm. are my friends as well. You know, watching them play and listening to the bad beats and celebrating them, you know, with a good session. So, I mean, I'm able to almost play poker through others, I guess you will say.
Well, Dennis is headed back out to Vegas in the next few days after he gets back from his trip to Argentina. I'm sure he'll be back in your room.
Absolutely.
And we'll both be out there for the third Deep Stack event in June during the World Series of Poker. And we look forward to seeing you then, Kathy.
Wonderful. Yeah. Maybe we can go out and have a cup of coffee.
That'll work for me. Although I do hope that the first couple of weeks of July I don't see you.
I know.
There's
I'm
another
sure
small
you
event going on,
you
but,
do.
You know, that will take precedent at least this year.
Kathy,
but
thanks
I will be back there.
Of course.
Thanks for your time tonight. We appreciate it.
No problem at all. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate that.
All right, take care, Kathy.
Kathy's the Director of Poker Operations at the Venetian, joining us here at the Lumiere Place Final Table. We love to play at Lumiere Place, but when we're in Vegas, we play all sorts of places, and the Venetian is certainly one of those. If you're taking a road trip there, you should stop in and play as well. I'm Paul Harris. He's Dennis Phillips. The website is thechipleader.com, where you can catch up with the podcast of this show and more. And we'll be back with the poker coach, Joe McGowan, in just a moment. This portion of the show is brought to you by PokerStars.net, the website where Dennis Phillips plays online.
Absolutely right. The next time you want to play poker, log on to PokerStars.net. Pick your game, pick your time, pick your level, and go, because I guarantee it's there. It's the largest poker room in the world.
In fact, we were just talking with Kathy about all the games that make up horse.
There you go.
You can play them all right there on PokerStars.
If you feel weak in your Raz game, go there and play it. Omaha, whatever, pick it. It's there. Guaranteed it. It's the largest number of free-to-play tournaments anywhere on the Internet.
You know, I would suggest going on PokerStars, playing Raz, getting quads and shoving all in just to see what the chat looks like.
Oh, my gosh.
Those of you who don't know, in Raz, you're playing for the worst hand possible, the lowest hand. Even a pair is probably not going to do you very well.
Oh, yeah, and you catch two pair in Raz, you're dead.
Yeah.
So, absolutely.
So, quads.
Oh, my gosh.
Shoving all in with quads. You might actually make the Poker Stars Hall of Fame.
Yeah, just don't mention my name when you do make that move. Tell them Paul sent you. All right.
PokerStars.net, the website where you'll find Dennis Phillips. And we're back in just a moment here at the Lumiere Plays Final Table on 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com.
In just 2 short years, World Series of Poker champ Dennis Phillips has earned over $4.5 million because Dennis knows when to hold a great deal. That's why Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room is his game room superstore. Hurry to Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room now for factory closeout deals on poker tables, craps tables, blackjack tables, 3-in-1 casino tables, and accessories. Plus, get Amini's closeout deals on complete game room packages, sale priced from just $1,995. Right now, Brunswick Billiard Game Room Suites are thousands off, and American-made pool tables are just $995. Hurry to Amini's now for blowout deals on leather sectionals, area rugs, bars, bar stools, video arcade games, and home theater seating. Hold your deal interest-free with 2-year layaway. So take a tip from Dennis. Get your great deal today at Amini's Home Rugs and Game Room, Highway 40 and Boone's Crossing in Chesterfield Valley, the home of the Copper Dome Amini's.
Now, taking you from the flop to the river, here are Dennis Phillips and Paul Harris talking poker at the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 The Fan KFNS.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the PPA. That's the Poker Players Alliance, a group of poker players who are fighting for poker players like you and like me and like Dennis. It's the Poker Players Alliance, a nonprofit membership organization for people who are standing up for your right to play poker wherever and whenever you want to. From casinos to online to home games to wherever you want to play, poker is under assault in too many places in this country, and the PPA's mission is to establish favorable laws that provide poker players with a secure, safe, and regulated place to play. It's a game of skill. Remember that. That's what the PPA tries to remind state legislatures and the United States Congress. It is America's oldest recreational activity. Well,
almost. Never mind. Next subject. Come on.
Except for the oldest profession, which the PPA does not fight for. It fights for poker players like you and me, but it can only survive with members like you. Contact the PPA by going to their website, ppa.org. It's the Poker Players Alliance, one of the sponsors of the Lumiere Place Final Table here on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS.com. Let's talk about upcoming events, including one that you're involved in and which you've asked me to be a part of as well, and I'm happy to be, and that is a benefit for the Albert Pujols Family Foundation.
Correct. I've been lucky enough to be involved with this for the last year with Albert, with Todd Perry, the director of it, and the others. On May 7th at Amini's, we are going to have a poker tournament. It looks like it's going to be restricted only about 150 players. We'll get the information out to you. You can probably go to the website here shortly. We'll get it up as soon as we can.
We do actually have the information up on
thechipleader.com
right now.
Excellent on that. But it's going to be on May 7th that evening. We're going to start at around 6 o'clock. We're going to be playing down to 8 players. And then I get the privilege of sitting down as number 9, and Albert is going to sit down as number 10.
Number 5 becomes number 10.
There you go.
Now, is Albert a real poker player?
He said he played once.
Once? So you're telling me at that table you'll be El Hombre.
There you go. We'll see. Now, knowing Albert and as competitive as he is, I wouldn't put anything by him. He's not going to be, you know, he's just a tough player. He's competitive. He's been that way all his life.
He should be practicing on PokerStars is what he should
be
doing.
There you go, absolutely. But the idea of it is being able to sit down, being able to talk with him. He's going to have some memorabilia there to hand out.
What does his foundation do?
His foundation is involved in a couple of different things. It goes back to his homeland there and builds ball diamonds, does the rest of it. And then what they did last year was they took down several optometrists down there. To some of the local villages
in the Dominican Republic.
In the Dominican Republic that had never seen an optometrist before. Let me just vision this because this is just phenomenal. I saw some of the pictures, some of the slides. They would go down there and they literally looked at hundreds and hundreds of kids who had never had an eye exam before. And they had one picture and they showed Albert helping interpret. So, you know, and they tried this 12, 13, 14-year-old is sitting there and she's putting on glasses. And different thing, and she put one on, and she looked, and startled look, and her eyes got big. She looked, and this grin just from ear to ear. You're imagining right then. This is the first time in her life she's able to be clearly able to see.
Wow.
And they were able to help hundreds of people this way. I think this year they're trying to go down there and do it for a hearing. He's just been a phenomenal benefactor for the Dominican Republic and for those areas down there, and I am so proud to be able to help him out with this.
All right.
If we can raise some money this way through the silent auction, through the tournament, through whatever, I am just tickled to death.
You're invited to join us at the Albert Pujols Family Foundation event. It's at Amini's, the one with the Copper Dome in the Chesterfield Valley, just west of St. Louis here in Missouri. It is May 7th, and you can find details on Dennis's website, thechipleader.com. Now we've got about a minute to go. Where are you headed off to tomorrow?
Oh, Argentina. Here I come.
This is the L.A. Poker Tour.
The last LAPT. It is
Latin American Poker Tour.
Sorry. It's the finale, the granddaddy of them all. This is going to be the biggie. This is where we all come together and have some fun and play some really good poker.
And then after that, you're back to St. Louis or back to Vegas?
I'm going to swing by St. Louis, basically wave at everybody as I go through, then back to Las Vegas for a while, and then it's not definite. But I may be going to Monte Carlo.
Oh, poor boy.
Yeah, well, what can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a new one for me. Never been anywhere near it, and definitely not. I won't fit in too well over there, I don't think. But, you know, I'll take a cardinal hat and have fun.
I want to see a cardinal hat on the coast of France.
There you go.
I want to see a photo of that.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, you won't go in the water, I know, but that's all right.
Hey, up to my knee maybe this time. I'll experiment a little further.
The website is thechipleader.com. The email address is dennisphillipspoker@gmail.com. Write to us for questions that we'll be doing. We're right back here next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Central Time for the Lumiere Place Final Table on 590 of the Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.